Welcome, welcome, welcome to the premiere edition, premiere episode of Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast. I am your host, Chuck Champion, and with me I have my co-host going forward on this Chale Pistolas, Mr. Pistolas. Yes, give it up for Chale Pistolas.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, all the way from Texas. Glad you could have me here.
Oh man, yep. I'm thrilled to have you, bro. I am thrilled to have you. I mean, we're gonna have a great time doing this. I mean, you know, I would really like to do a I would really like to do a show after the games. However, being you know how we get during the game, I think that would be a little bit impossible.
Yeah, it might be a little impossible. You know, there'll be some things that get in the way, maybe, and some of the speech impairments related, you know.
Indeed, yes, yes, yes. Well, hey, man.
We might say something out of cast.
And you know, and that could still happen, even though we're not that way right now. But you never know. This is the World Generation Podcast Network with Chuck Champion and Chale Pistolas, and I think you know, all bets are off right now. All bets are off, baby. Let's get to the show, if you will. We had a hell of a game. I mean, you know, to be honest, I don't feel like they, you know, they didn't live up to the hype, man. I mean, I was all hyped up. I even posted on Facebook that, you know, it was a good day. I even announced, you know, early on, it's a great day to let everybody know that the Cowboys will be winning the Super Bowl this year. You know, I even wrote, this is not a prediction. It's a spoiler. I was spoiling it for everybody. And then we get to game time. And, you know, they did all they could in the first, and it wasn't enough, or in the first half, and it just wasn't enough. And I don't know, it just felt like they were uninspired out there for some, you know, parts of the game. Nevertheless, they ended up losing 20-17. You know, they had some struggling on both offense and defense, and even some on special teams, I thought. What were your quick analysis of the game? Did you enjoy it? Did you have anything special, the highs and the lows? Fill us in, man.
You know, right off the bat, you know, we allowed them to go in and get a score right underneath us, and that kind of took a little wind out of me. I'm hearing you, Chuck, on this, and I'm not disagreeing with you, although I do think that you know, there was a late effort put in there, but it just wasn't good enough, and it kind of reminded me, oh man, I don't even want to say it, but it kind of reminded me of our previous seasons, you know, and I needed to see a new team. And I think I did, and I was excited about it. I think the effort was there. The talent is obviously there. I'm still hopeful. I'm not giving up hope by any means, but I was slightly disappointed there.
Part of the reason why it felt like you were watching the same thing is because Kellen Moore is still there. You know, Mike McCarthy, the new head coach, came in, but they kept the same offensive coordinator. So, and of course, he was Garrett's guy. He was a Garrett guy.
Yeah.
Garrett brought him in and stuff, and he was a backup quarterback. I guess I could say a failed backup quarterback. He didn't last too long. But then he went into his coaching role, and, you know, I had good promise for this guy, Kellen Moore, but it seems like he's stuck in the rut. He's spinning his wheels. He's doing the same thing. We've got a lot of targets on offense, a lot of weapons, high caliber weapons on offense, and I think that, you know, it's just a little too conservative for my taste. I mean, they need to be slinging some ball out there.
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what McCarthy does going forward, Chuck Champion. You know, will he take the reins and kind of put a little noose on him or not? That's yet to be seen, but I would expect some kind of a different look maybe this coming week.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, we're going to need a different look because we've got I just found out moments ago, we've got the Falcons up next week. And, you know, they've got Matty Ice, who I've never been a fan of, but there's no question he can light the field. And, you know, and we had problems on defense. Our secondary is not – we had some secondary problems there. But let me tell you guys, let's get started with the show, and we'll move into all of that as we go along. So I think that the we had the player of the game for sure was, for me, the best guy on the Cowboys team. It had to be Ezekiel Elliott for me. His stats, now they weren't exactly the best, but just watching him, I mean, he looked fresh and crisp and explosive. He did rush for 96 yards and had 31 yards receiving with two touchdowns. So your thoughts on Ezekiel Elliott and his play?
Well, I have to agree wholeheartedly. He showed stamina. He showed eagerness. He caught the ball. He ran with the ball. He showed some toughness out there, Chuck Champion. And I think his heart is in it this year. And I don't believe, and you may disagree, but I don't think you will, I don't believe we lost this game. Our losing this game had anything to do with Ezekiel Elliott not performing.
Not at all.
He came out and put on a show. He came out and did what he had to do, and it just was, you know, the rest of the team just wasn't good enough.
96 yards, 31 more receiving, and two touchdowns. Yeah, I think he did his part.
He did his part, man. He did all he could do, and we needed a little extra help, and it didn't come through.
On defense, we had Robert Woods on the other side, wide receiver, giving our secondary problems, man, throughout the game. He led the Rams with six catches for 105 yards. I mean, he torched us. And, of course, he had some timely receptions that they seemed to move the chains all the time when the Cowboys were trying to get off the field. Next thing you know, here comes Woods with a catch out of nowhere, and they're moving the chains, man.
Right.
And so I think we've got problems there in that secondary, bro. There's no denying it.
Well, they had 35 and a half minutes possession time as opposed to our 24 and a half minutes. And you know, that's got to play a big role. You know,
right.
you're looking at they had the ball, you know, 11 minutes, almost 12 minutes more than we did. That's almost the whole quarter.
Indeed.
You know, and that's just unacceptable, Chuck Champion. I'm sorry, but we've got some issues on that defense, I think, that we need to work on, mainly the secondary. And, of course, you know what happened now, and then we got some problems up front as well, you know. So,
right.
So,
we'll get into that later,
Chuck Champion.
Indeed, we will. And it's 619-924-0815 if you want to get in on this. And meanwhile, we do have a call, 361-254. You're on the air with Chuck Champion and Charlie Pistolas on the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast. Welcome.
Hey, guys, it's me, Albert Inspected from Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Oh, my. Albert Inspected from Fatal 4-Way Radio. Let me find out. Are you Dallas Cowboys fan?
You know what, man? I grew up. I my family's from the Houston area, so I always grew up being either an Oilers fan or a you're gonna hate me a Houston Texans fan now. No, I didn't say that I am. But hey, you know what? I just called in to say congratulations on the new show, guys. I'm going to be promoting this on whatever pages we have, and I just want to say, hell yeah, dude. I'm glad more shows are coming on the network here, and like I said, congratulations to you guys on the new show, and I hope you guys go far.
Well, we certainly do appreciate that, Albert Inspected. Anything else you'd like to say before you bail off the show? I know you've got a show coming up with Minister and them.
Yes, we do, and so that'll be starting at the top of the hour, so right after you guys. So that's stacked entertainment tonight on the World Generation Podcast Network.
Indeed, Albert Inspected from
Fatal
4-Way Radio and from many bands in South Texas. Thank you very much, there, Albert Inspected. All right, yes. That's a great guy, man, wishing us luck. By the way, special thanks to Albert Inspected for for all of the nice logos that he creates for us here on the World Generation Podcast Network. He did the logo for the for our show right now, Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast. And he also did the network logos and a few others as well, and some that are coming soon to the network. So stay tuned for that. Let's get back to the shizzle. We were talking about, let's see here, the defense and how horrific it was. They kept us on the field quite a bit, and they're gonna have to fix this by next week. So I don't know who they're going to call or what. There's already all kinds of speculation out there, but I don't think we're going to get into that right now. But the turning point of the game, which was the most controversial play of the game, was Mike McCarthy's decision to go for it on 4th and 3 from the Rams 11. This was early in the fourth, and it was a short pass to C.D. Lamb over the middle. And, of course, he was stopped shy of the first, and the Rams took over. And they were ahead of the game by 3 points at that time, and the Cowboys never did get close enough to even attempt another field goal after that. And that's what was disappointing to me the most. Like, it's like, man, at the time that we needed the defense the most to get the ball back, it just they couldn't make it happen. And then when they did, it was not enough on the part of the offense. So, man, it was a tough one. It's a tough pill to swallow, man. We should have gone in there and just banged out a win. You know, the first game in the Rams' new stadium, we should have beat their asses. Hell, somebody came in and beat our asses. I think it was the Green Bay Packers came in and beat our asses first game in our new stadium. So we should have handed that ass beating to them, but we didn't. However, we're still projected by many to take it all this year, so we'll see how that turns out. But your thoughts on the turning point, Mr. Pistolas?
Well, Chuck Champion, let me tell you, I've got a look that perhaps maybe we haven't thought of this, but here it goes. McCarthy was seeing the same thing we were seeing. Okay, our defense just wasn't up there. And so I can't say I blame him because he's trying to rack up the points, okay?
Yeah.
Because the defense just if I'm a gambling man, which I've been known to be every now and then, I believe I'd have gone for it too because that would have put us ahead more, give us more points, and I think that I sincerely believe that that was his state of mind and his ultimate goal. And it didn't work, but had it worked, we wouldn't just have tied the game; we would have won the game. So I think we gotta look at it both ways. And I'm kind of justifying his rationale there, and it makes sense to me, Chuck Champion.
It makes sense to you. Nice. I'll tell you what makes sense right now. Why don't we go ahead and take a break? The show is just flying by, and we'll go ahead and take a break, and then when we come back, we've got some other things to talk about, including the injuries, of course, from Jarwin and Van Der Esch, and of course, Alden Smith, Dontari Poe, and more. Yeah, that's right, more. The show is loaded, ladies and gentlemen, so stay right where you're at. Don't go anywhere, and we'll be right back on the Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast with Chuck Champion and Chale Pistolas.
F-A-C-U-L-O-U-S, yes. Diamonds on my neck. Yes, I'm fabulous. They keep hating on me, I don't sweat. What? Don't got time for this, cause I'm fabulous.
Rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost, found, the greatest talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You
want to
see something really scary?
So you want to talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about Bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amuck, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Philly Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, returning this week only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local listings.
Are you ready for some more wrestling talk? Join Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, headliner Joe Bates, and Rancho punk rocker Albert Salazar as they recap some of this week's shenanigans in the WWE. Fatal 4-Way Radio makes its triumphant return to the World Generation Podcast Network.
Hi, my name is Dave, and I'm one of the creators of Chucky Pacific Productions. If you're one of the millions of others who are sitting on your ass and in desperate need of entertainment, Chucky Pacific Productions is here for you. Check out one of our podcasts, such as our highbrow stoner pop culture podcast, The Mile High Podcast, or for you sci-fi nerds out there, we have the Race to Space Read-Along Podcast. All podcasts can be found on Spotify, SoundCloud, and Apple Podcasts. For you streamers out there, we have the Nerd Corner on Twitch. And for those of you who need relationship advice, check out James and Melody on our Facebook Live series, Surviving the Quarantine. You can reach us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Come check out Truckee Pacific Productions.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Back to the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast. It's great of you to join us. I am Chuck Champion, and I'm here with Chale Pistolas. And we're talking about our precious Dallas Cowboys in the pilot episode of the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast. So, yes, thank you so much for joining us. And, of course, the call-in number, if you want to get in on this, 619-924-0815. So, Mr. Pistolas, we had some injuries. Some devastating injuries. This goes back to the defense. Blake Jarwin. Blake Jarwin, of course, on offense. And then on defense, Van Der Esch gone. I mean, that's a badass dude to be missing from our lineup. I mean, we needed him there, and he's gone, and he's gone for 6 to 8 weeks. He had surgery today, and the collarbone has been repaired with the plate and screws, similar to the same surgery that former quarterback Tony Romo had back in 2015. So, of course, the injury happened in the first quarter, and he was replaced by Joe Thomas. Now, back in 2015, Romo missed 8 games with his collarbone injury. And then, of course, he suffered a re-break in his return against the Panthers. That was on Thanksgiving. And so he was done for the season after that. So he missed a few games, then came back, tried it on Thanksgiving. They took him out. They plucked him, and he was done for the year. That was the year that we were thinking we were going to win it all. By the end of the year, we were laughing our asses off every time the Cowboys were going to show because, it was a rough year, man. We had a great team that year, and we were poised to win it all, and then the injury happened, and just like that, it was gone. Of course, Van Der Esch, who made the Pro Bowl as a rookie in 2018, he missed the seven last games of the season with a neck injury that eventually required a minimally invasive procedure in the offseason. So in training camp, he said he had no issues with his neck. And now apparently it's the hamstring. So Van Der Esch is out. Sean Lee is missing at least the next two games, which is you know, it's expected at this point. And of course, he's on injured reserve with a pelvis issue. So the Cowboys have four linebackers right now on the 53-man roster. It's looking rough right now, man. It's looking rough. We've got to do something. Call somebody or do something. Your thoughts?
The injuries. Certainly, you know, it seems like Van Der Esch is following in the footsteps of Sean Lee. That's disappointing to me, Chuck Champion. When it first came to us, I preferred him in there over Sean Lee.
Oh yeah, man!
It took some criticism over that a couple of times, but he's shown us a lot. He's definitely good on the field, but he's a little prone to injury, you know. And I'm hoping he's not taking the same role.
Oh.
I was doing a little inquiry on the new rules of the NFL as far as injured reserve. You know, he could be allowed to return as soon as 3 weeks. I don't see that happening. The all likelihood is that he will continue to be out on injury reserve for probably 6 to 8 weeks, as you mentioned, Chuck Champion. But my role on that is I just don't know what we're going to do here, if we're going to ask somebody to step up. And is there someone in your mind that can step up and fill the gap? I can't think of one.
Well, someone is going to have to absolutely step up. Let's see here. Trying to see what we have, and I've been put on the spot, but let's see here. We have Terrence Steele. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's on offense. Luke Gifford, who was inactive against the Rams, has been working back. Yeah, so let's see here. They're talking about Francis Bernard from the practice squad. So, they're going to have to dig deep.
They're going to dig deep, and that kind of worries me. And I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, Chuck Champion, but I couldn't come up with one earlier. And I, being the cowboy encyclopedia, so to speak, Chuck Champion, I had to turn that one over to you.
All right. Well, in that case, we shall move on from that one. But yeah, man, they're going to have to dig deep, and we'll just have to wait and see how that develops. And then also with Blake Jarwin, of course, the replacement from Jason Witten, who is now with the Raiders. Now he's gone. So they're talking about Dalton Schultz, Blake Bell, and undrafted rookie Sean McKeon are currently occupying the active roster at tight end. So we'll see how that goes.
My thought there, Chuck Champion, is Jarwin, he if he goes to surgery, which we all know he will in ACL, it's serious, and he'll probably be out the rest of the season. That's pretty cut and dry. But I like Sean. I believe that young man will step up, and I think we'll see some great results out of that.
Sean's are my thoughts. Nice. And, again, we will have to wait and see how that develops. Getting on to the brass and the tacks. I guess Alden Smith. Oh man, dude, that guy was shining. That guy was shining. I mean, he woke up that day and he was glad to be alive. You could tell. 11 tackles. That's a team best, no less. 11 tackles, 2 quarterback hits, 1 tackle for a loss, and took down Jared Goff to grab his first sack of the season. He took him down. First sack. The only sack of the day, actually, for the Cowboys. He had a tremendous camp that led Dak Prescott to label him a monster, even. So, he did play that role to a T yesterday. He was all over their asses. We need more of that. Alden Smith?
Yeah. You know, for him not having taken a single snap since 2015,
it's amazing.
He came out shining. He made his presence felt all over that field. And, you know, helping the Cowboys a chance to steal the win. That was, of course, before the controversial offensive pass interference call. You know, but I totally agree. I agree with Dak. The man needs to be labeled as a monster. He's a source to be dealt with. You know, and he's a truly cowboy.
Indeed. I tell you what, man. He hadn't played since 2015. He was out there. He had a great game. His comments after are actually McCarthy on Alden Smith after said, "I thought he played at an extremely high level. Alden played extremely well. Thought that coming off the field, but definitely it was reflected with the video. He plays with incredible power, strength, but you can see just a couple of things he needs to get back into, and that's just the rust that needs to be knocked off." You think that rust will be knocked off sooner rather than later? Alden Smith,
I do.
Mr. Pistolos?
I do.
Yeah.
I believe Alden will make some adjustments that he has to. Not many, but he's got some to make, so I believe he'll make the adjustments. And I was reading an article earlier, and it pointed back, and it's, as a matter of fact, I'll quote it, "Smith looks like the version of himself who once was the most dominant edge rusher in the league." Hey, so he's back. He's back, and he did make a few mistakes, but I think he'll polish them off, we'll see an even more improved Smith against the Falcons this coming week.
Yeah, and that sack wasn't the only impact play that he made. He had, there was that one play where Awuzie, he had that one with Awuzie, I think they...
And then he gave, he also gave Jared Goff took him down to grab his first sack of the season.
He actually
you know, was the first sack. That's impressive.
Alden Smith was pressuring the Goff, and Awuzie had that terrible throw, and of course, I mean, I'm sorry, Goff had that terrible throw as a result of Smith chasing him down, and then Awuzie had the interception, so that was good play right there. What was lacking was the secondary, I think, and of course, I do. We need to see some more from the other side of Alden Smith. I can't remember who the guy is that's there with them on the other side, but we'll move on from that. Alden Smith said, "I was able to make some plays. I also missed some plays. I'm tough on myself, but I did do some things well. I would say 2018 was a tough year. In that year, I was in a really dark place. I didn't have a lot of value for how I thought of myself. When I was in that bad spot, it got pretty bad." He said, "I was sleeping under a car for some nights because my sickness took me there, and I had a home to sleep in, but I was in such a dark place that I didn't see myself deserving anything other than that." So, man, this guy has been through an incredible last 5 years, and for him to be starting in the NFL and having a great game and then having media write about him that he's, you know, a version of himself as he was 5 years ago when he was badass. That says a lot about his character and the resilience of who Alden Smith is.
Well, and if I may, Chuck Champion, you know, it takes anyone can go down. It takes a big man to get back up and then be able to talk about it. So obviously he fought some demons and has won. And everyone that I know that's been through something like that and has actually overcome it is a dominant. You know, is very dominant, and will grow to great success. And I'm just glad he's part of the of our team of the Cowboys.
a great organization to be a part of at any time, even if we haven't won a Super Bowl in 24 years. But I'll tell you what, we'll get one this year.
It's coming.
Now, one
it's
of the
coming,
leagues,
Chuck, and you and I will be talking about it right afterwards.
Indeed, we will. And one of the league's goals in reinstating Smith was to have him serve as a beacon and testimony to those fighting addiction and for their mental health. So I think it's a good thing, you know, that it took a lot for them to actually agree for him to come back, but here he is, and he's playing for our team, and you know, I think he's doing great wearing that star in his helmet right now. So yes, congratulations to Alden Smith on a great game. Dontari Poe, who was the lone cowboy who was kneeling during the national anthem. Of course, he's a veteran defensive tackle, and he's been one of the more vocal players on the roster about the social injustice issues that are, you know, overtaking the U.S. right now. And he said that deciding to kneel, that it was his decision, that he wanted to do it, even though his teammates didn't want him to, because they didn't want him to do it alone. So after the game, they asked him, you know, what the kneeling meant to him personally, and he said it's just bringing more awareness to what's going on in this world, to the racial injustices that's going on. It's not something that's going to be solved in a day. People keep asking me, what is he doing? It's bringing more awareness. This is letting people know, and this is my way of fighting it. It's the beginning of it. We might not see change in my lifetime. I don't want to start it by doing the simple things such as kneeling to let people know that I feel this way. So those were his words. He said, my teammates were telling me that they didn't want me to do it by myself alone because we're a team. But I had told them mine was already made up and I felt this way. And if they didn't do it, I was okay with that. Don't do it unless your heart is there like mine was. I appreciate my guys for sticking with me, for being behind me. And, of course, there was a meme going on today, a video, a little short video clip of Jerry Jones looking and catching him on his knees, and it didn't look like he was too happy. As for the game itself, Poe said the Cowboys just didn't make enough plays when it counted the most. He said just a couple of plays here and there. Football is a game of inches. We've got to do what we have to do to get an extra inch to get the win, to get us over the hump. And that was that. Your thoughts on him? Did you watch the national anthem, the opening ceremonies, and did you watch him kneel?
I did.
Your thoughts?
I watched him kneel, and my thoughts on that, Chuck Champion, and you can certainly cap it off when I'm done. But my thoughts on that is, you know, I'm all for prayer. I think prayer should be welcome everywhere. Some people decide to take a knee for prayer. I believe there's a time and place for everything, and I just don't know if we need to mix the two with the national anthem. Prayer is welcome in my eyes at any time. So if he was praying, I'm okay with that. To take a knee if his heart, and it seems that maybe his heart was in the right place. But by his comments, I had not heard him. Chuck Champion, I appreciate you sharing that with us. Okay, so that gives it a little bit different beat to it. Seems like there were some right reasons there. Didn't expect his teammates to do it with him. You know, obviously showing some class and some respect for how people feel. And I want to send across the same message. But if it was for prayer, and I'm all for prayer at any time, but also I'm for our country and for our national anthem and what it stands for. And ever since we were in school, we've been bred to stand for our national anthem, and I just that's my take on it. I would like to see him stand. I'm not going to hold a grudge for him not to. I respect his decision, but I'm just hoping it was for the right reasons.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You know, I've actually become numb to the whole thing. In fact, I made it a point to not watch or pay attention to any of the pre stuff. In fact, I started watching at 10 a.m. as I always do on Sundays if I'm not sleeping due to a massive hangover. But I digress. I started watching, and you know, once they start talking about that, I change the channel or I put it on mute and I do something else. I'm not going to stand there and let them preach to me about something that I'm not about. And so the same thing went with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm of the idea of, hey, you know, they didn't used to always have the national anthem. They could take it off and I would be okay with it and just not do it. I also like some of the teams staying in the locker room. That, you know, it's okay. They don't have to come out. That's more for the people that are there. You know, if you're psyching yourself out before you go out there to play a game that's, you know, very physically demanding and whatnot, that's up to you. You can stay back there in the locker room and do that. You know, and by the way, though, I do not like the not standing. I don't like it. I never have liked it. However, like I said, I've become numb to it. And, you know, I just got to where, you know, I don't give a rat's ass anymore. And also, with having said all that, though, I have also grown enough in myself to respect, you know, we are in a free country after all. If they want to kneel, you know, let them kneel. If they want to pray, I certainly would encourage that as well. You know, it's up to them to do whatever they want to do. Each person is their own individual, and that's where we're at in 2020. And I mean, nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change. And not even the way I feel about it is going to change anything. So, you know, I'm just, like I said, I've become numb to it. The whole
good
kneeling thing.
Chuck Champion. And I think that's where I was leaning toward as well, because, you know, a couple of years ago, it would have bothered me tremendously.
Yes, indeed.
And I guess I'm just taking the same look you are right now, because it didn't bother me as much, and definitely hearing his comments. Would I kneel for the national anthem? No. Okay,
right.
That's the choice he took. We are in 2020. We never thought we'd be wearing masks going to a bank teller. You know, so. It's a different world, Chuck Champion.
Indeed it is. And because it is a different world, we have the home opener this week against the Falcons. And, of course, they're coming into town. And they're already talking about – I closed the wrong article. But they're already talking about – the game could lead to a surge in coronavirus cases. Of course, these are health experts that are yes. Now, at this point, I'm already thinking, hey man, you know, I've had 8 months of bullshit pandemic. I mean, I'm not going to deny that there is a pandemic. There is a pandemic, but hey, it's got a 99% survival rate. You know. And at the end of the day, we're probably all going to end up getting it at some point or another, and the strong will survive, and that's just how it is. That's how it's always been, and that's how it will be from now on going forward even. So, you know, they can take their health experts, because there could be a surge. There could lead – the game could lead to a surge. But then again, they're leaving out that it could not. It could not.
Yes.
And, of course, you can, you know, tune in to the Full Tilt Boogie on Saturdays, because they talk about a lot of that stuff, Chuck Amuck and them guys over there. So tune in to the Full Tilt Boogie and get all your political stuff in there. But, yeah, this is a little bit on the political side, because it has been made political. A lot of people are totally against wearing the mask. Some people are totally against if you're not wearing a mask. Me, I'm like, shit, I forgot my mask. I'm the one that's wasting the most time out of everybody walking back to my car to get my freaking mask that I forgot. And so I'm like, shit, I'll be glad when it's over with and we can all just go maskless again. But until then, I'm going to keep wearing my mask just so that I don't have to, you know, get into it with anybody and pick up a case on a charge or something, an assault charge over a freaking mask. So as far as the coronaviruses, you know, the cases, you know, they could lead to a surge. It also could not happen. Your thoughts on that?
Well, You can also get hit by a truck tomorrow crossing the street if you don't look both ways.
God.
I mean, I forget that quote from what was that, the Tommy movie?
I don't know it.
You don't know it?
No, I don't know that movie.
You can get a good look at a steak if you put your head up a bull's butt or something like that, but you can always just go buy one and get it. So,
well, there you go.
So,
yeah, you're absolutely right. Makes sense.
I'm kind of, I don't think that should stop anything on the football side. I think there was ways there's ways of protecting the players. They definitely get tested before. We're not going to catch coronavirus by watching the Cowboys play on television.
No, we're not. Of course not.
Those are my thoughts on it. I agree with you about the pandemic. You know, it's real, but we've overcome bigger obstacles. And for them to say might, I mean, you can get hit by, like I said, you can get run over by a truck if you don't look both ways. So there's always that
same
might.
Thing. Indeed, there is. And by the way, Sean McVay, it came out that he, of course, he had to come out and issue a statement because he was not wearing his mask throughout the game. And of course, he had to come out because, people were upset about it. And he came out with a statement that he will do a better job of wearing his mask on the sideline. And I'm like, man, the players aren't wearing masks. Why do the coaches have to wear masks? These guys are always tested. They're tested constantly. I mean, I just don't see the point. But apparently Sean McVay will have to do a better job of wearing his mask. Your thoughts on Sean McVay getting caught without a mask and then getting raked over the coals for it?
Yeah. You know, I have no desire to watch the Rams next week, but I just might tune in for just a hair to see if he's wearing his mask.
You think he's going to try to buck the system? He's going to try to buck the system? Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you what, Chale Pistolas, that about closes us out. So I'd like to thank you very much for joining me. And do you have anything you'd like to close yourself out with? Anything you'd like to plug on your way out? Anything you'd like to promote or anything?
No, just the shows, and then of course, go Cowboys, and I just want everybody to support the Cowboys and stand beside them, right or wrong, indifferent. We're all Cowboys at the end of the day, and go Cowboys, Chuck Champion, and I appreciate you having me. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. I hope we have more good ones than bad ones. Sometimes we got to take, the good with the bad, and let's move on. Let's regroup ourselves, and let's go, let's go kick Atlanta right in the ass, and see how that goes. But looking forward to working with you the rest of the season there, Chuck Champion.
Much appreciated. Ladies and gentlemen, Chale Pistolas. And guys, I'd like to thank you very much for tuning in to the pilot episode of Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast. It was great of you to join us. And also, I'd like to once again give thanks to Albert Salazar for the nice logos that he provides us with here on the World Generation Podcast Network, including the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast logo and many others as well. And also, I'd like to invite you to watch or to check out Monsnap Radio tomorrow night. Modsnapradio.com, that is, and check out Lost in the Staunch tomorrow night, and that's at 9:00 Central Standard Time. So be sure to tune in to check out Alex Staunch as he goes on, and also check out his YouTube channel, Staunch on Rewind. Staunch Rewind on YouTube. So check that out as well. And I am Chuck Champion for the Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on the World Generation Podcast Network right here on the Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast. Peace.
A presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.